Croeso, so, and welcome to Tales Wales, the pod that never fails to reap the fields of Welsh history and toil the land for stories of yesterday. And I know fuck all about today's subject, so I've got no genuine link between it, but I thought the first two bits were roughly maybe in the right ballpark. And as ever, you're joined by me, Franks, and you're joined by Jack. And I gotta say, off the top, I am in a foul mood.
I thought I could pick up on the energy when we logged on. I was thinking, this isn't the sprightly little nymph that I'm used to signing on with.
It was a really hectic day. Really hectic day. And then football was fucking garbage and I got kicked the shit out of playing it and we didn't have enough players and I just hated it. I was a bit grouchy when Em came home. We had someone come to view the flat and they were 2 hours late to view the flat, which is really annoying.
Little fuckers. Yeah. And that's
they came
so annoying.
When I had a meeting. So I had a really stressful meeting and I had to like just kind of get around that. And then I'd go straight to football. And I thought, at least football will cheer me up. But there's only four of us against six. We had to get a ringer who was shit. And then I got fucking kicked the shit out of.
And so you were thinking, I'm going to batter someone in this football match. And then the opposite started happening.
Weirdly, I scored every single one of our goals. And I'm not a goal scorer. So my anger.
Oh, spite. Pure spite. Yeah.
And then I got home. They were quite fun when I got home. I told Emma that Papa John's deliver again to Cardiff. And she started crying with like genuine tears of happiness.
It's finally happened, Frank. It's finally happened.
No, that made me really happy. I think it's because like it's her hormones at the moment. It was really cute and funny. She was like, I'm crying tears of happiness. I love that, mate.
So that's when it reminded you there's still little segments of joy in the world. Yeah.
And I've just gone to the, and I was going to be having a month off beer, but I just gone to the shops and got some beer. Just because
you absolute beauty. I don't even care you've had a shit day, as long as that's the end result. How many got then? Go on.
Well, I got a couple of skinny lagers.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Or what are we talking? Couple. A pack of four.
There's always the rum, you know.
We've always got a backup.
I got four bottles of rum.
It's like, oh, look, I'm dead against beer for at least a month now. One bad day. Right, fuck this. I'm cracking one open.
I got so drunk on Saturday and like I clicked a link from my mum that gave me my phone like a virus. And I was like, why did I ever...
telling me,
Yeah, and that like deleted...
It was the classic Facebook link thing back in the day where you click it and all your Facebook gets hacked.
Yeah, so like it wasn't anything bad. It's just like it wasn't too hard to fix. All I had to do was like restart my phone, but it was just like just took ages, and it was like it meant I was uncontactable for a bit, which is like as someone who's chronically online, I was like, well, I'm missing the latest memes.
Well, as you were saying yesterday, it was literally yesterday to me. You were like, I couldn't scroll, I couldn't do my reels,
and I was so hungover, like so physically sick. Mm. And our mate Ollie came down, and we had such a fun time. And the cricket was like, I think that's what gets you. You have such a fun all day. You go crazy. You get like smashed. You're really, really drunk. And you are like hedonistic. You love life. And then the next day is such a U-turn. It's like, oh my God, I wish
huge
I was
come
dead.
Down.
It's such a come down. And I think that stayed with me all weekend because I like blacked out. I don't really like, I hate blacking out. You don't really know what's like, what. You know,
yeah, you get the old anxiety then, to the mind monkeys start coming in,
and like it just—I don't know—it was just—it was we all went too.
It's such
hard.
A good point about the everyone knows the physical hangover, but that's such a good point about like the mental emotional hangover as well. Where you've gone from such a high, like in terms of your emotions, how happy you are, and even if you just went back to normal. That's still such a drop off, let alone you like feel like that's a shit.
Yeah. And like, I don't really have hangovers where with me and Em where I'm so useless, I can't even like sit up. Like, I'll at least be present. But I said to her, I was like, Em, I can't do anything. I just have to lie literally by horizontal all day.
Stop talking to me.
I just sat there waiting until 5 p.m. when the pizza place opened. I kept refreshing my phone until it would be ready. And I was like, oh, God. I've been like, oh, I don't know. Just, and then this whole week, I've been really like, the hangover's really hit me. Like, it's just been like a very sad week. And I said to you, I was like, I'm going to have a solid month off now. And you were like, not even by Thursday? Because me and Jack's rude. it's by Thursday, everything's fine again. And I was like, no, I really am. But
and but then, yeah, the gods have forced Thursday upon you.
Although I am not I've got no plans to go out until me and you see each other in a month's time. So that's quite nice. Like no big, I'm doing things. I'm doing like going away for Em's birthday and seeing people, but it's not boozing. And that there feels like I got a solid month of no big hangovers. That's good. Which is what I need.
This month has just been like an absolute booze fest on the weekends and like drain on the bank account. And I've still got this weekend to go as well, which is going to be just in the pub for like 2 days straight, basically. I do me wrong. I'm fucking excited for it. God, it's going to be like, I'm going to look at my bank account afterwards because I've basically been sort of neglecting my finances this entire month and be like, I'll deal with that later. But it's going to be, it's going to be fucking biblical.
Oh, look, later's here. Later's always here.
It doesn't help that I also spent 130 odd quid on that a socketed Celtic axe head.
Have we spoken about that on here?
I don't think we have yet. No, let's talk about it in person.
So my
algorithm on Insta knows what I'm about these days. Yeah. Anything Welsh, anything like history, the occasional tit or two, you know, it knows where I'm at.
They usually come in pairs, so that is quite fair.
They're usually lucky for me. But it came up with this thing and it was like, oh, buy artifacts online. It looked like so fucking fake or whatever. And I was like, yeah, scroll pack. Keep on scrolling, buddy. And all this. And then I got an actual thing where it was like, oh, this thing called Catawiki. And I was like, what a name. That doesn't mean anything to me. And I looked at it. And it was a genuine website. It looks legit. I was like, I'll just peruse it. I'm not non-committal. And it was like, they got all sorts of things on there. Like they got actual, you know, like art and things like that. And like old comic books and like memorabilia from films and all sorts of shit on there. But this one guy, he's like some German guy. I can't remember his name now. It was like, it's Dr. Hans. Steffenhaus or something. Hans Steffenhausen. And he just messed, I don't know how he's got so much shit, but he's like highly rated on there. He's got loads of stuff. And I saw this thing. It was a socketed axe head from 4th century BC. And I was like, oh, look at this. And guess how much it was going for? A fucking fiver, right?
Wow.
So I was like, well, I'll chuck like a tenner on that and be like, if I win it, I win it. If I don't, I don't. That's worth, with, you know, a tenner, with a punt, no problem. With the punt. And then that got beat. You know, oh, someone's going 15. I said, you know what? I'd probably pay about 50 quid for that. No problem. So I put like an upper limit of 50 quid. So like automatically, you know, pips the last guy if I'm within the thing. And I was like, 50 quid, absolute max. Guess what? Yeah. I never stuck to the max. I ended up going over my in-law's house, right? Amy and her mum were going away somewhere like that. And I was like, oh, I'll just sit in the garden with your dad for a bit, have a couple of beers. And I was telling him about this. And he was an absolute devil on my shoulder. He was like, if you pay 50, you pay 80. And I was like, you are right there. You've got an absolute point. Got an 80. Then the guy pipped me on 80. And I was like, oh, and he went, what's 20 quid on top of that? And I was like, that's true. That is true. And then he said, what you want to do is go for a weird amount. Don't go like 115 because everyone does it and things are fine. Yeah. You want to do like 111.
Yeah.
And so when he does 10, business, I've got him by a pound. Yeah. I got the guy by a pound, 111. Congrats, you've won. And it was like, oh, here's 20 quid's worth of fucking like processing fees or whatever for Cata Bloody Wiki. And I was like, all right, got it. Who cares? I've got a piece of fucking history in my hands now.
That's sick. And what is it? Where's it from?
It's from somewhere in Germany. So it's not actual like Brittonic Celts, which is a bit sad. But I mean, it's still old as fuck. It's Celtic. Yeah. It's like a proper socketed axe thing. It's heavy as fuck. And I was like, I knew how big it was because it says the measurements, right? Approximately, like in my head. But it's smaller than you think. But I was trying to extrapolate it in my head. Like if you add the haft, like the handle and everything onto it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that does kind of make sense. It's like a little hand axe, basically. I was thinking, it's quite heavy. If you stuck that in someone's bloody bonds.
So what part is it damage. Of the axe? Is it the back end?
The blade,
the blade. Oh, the blade.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So it's do you know what a socketed axe looks like? They look kind of strange. Like,
do you want to fit the photo on?
Yeah, I'll put it up, but basically, it's not like what you'd imagine. You'd think like it was like the haft, right? The stick part, like the wood part. You'd think you like slot the blade on top of it, you know, like in a vertical way. Am I making sense there?
Yeah, I kind of do. I helped because I've seen the image. I've seen the thingy.
But this thing is like, it's where you put the wood in. It's like on the side, if that makes sense. So you got the blade, you kind of, and then like there,
sock you gotta it
like,
in, don't you?
I think you gotta, yeah, you literally gotta like hammer like a bit of wood in there, and you gotta have the wood like already made in the right shape. I saw like an image of like a modern remake of it and all that, and it looks strange like compared to what you think of that.
You should put it on the Patreon and maybe take a video of it or something. Just like,
we've gone on a side tangent there, just talking about my fucking boring axe purchase, but. That's another reason I'm a bit in a financial deficit these days. Spent 130 quid on a bit of fucking a bit of history,
a bit of tin can.
Well, Amy was like, "I reckon it's fake. They probably made it in a factory and made a mug out of you."
They always like, want to see us fail. They always want to see us fail. Everyone's against us. The world wants to see us fail, but we are not going to.
I've put a magnet up to it. It is iron. It's magnetic. Yeah. Okay. Good enough for me. That's what I say.
Yeah. Hey, mate, you bought an idea. You bought up, and what ideas are the most powerful things in the world?
So, exactly. And what I choose to believe is what's true.
So, exactly.
Simple as.
Blind ignorance. Simple as.
Blind ignorance.
Yeah, he might just be a metal detector, that guy. That's how he gets all that shit.
Maybe. I mean, he's a doctor of metal detecting, apparently, because he's got shitload of stuff.
Doc.
And also, my one has got like a little like scuff. From like, you know, I'm sorry, it's almost 2,500 years old, so sort of, but it's got a little scuff. And then he put one up, just as I want it, he put another axe head up, bigger than mine, in better condition than mine, and it was going for another fiver, and I was like, do I go down this road again?
What's the website called?
It's called Katawiki.
How do you spell Katawiki? It's with a
C. C-A-T-A, and then wiki, like the front of Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's fun.
They got loads of
Maybe
shit
we
on
should
there,
buy something from the pod for the pod.
That's such a slippery slope. So I'd be like, look, it's for the pod, mate. We'll do an episode around it, mate. Fine.
But if we could ever find anything Welsh on there, I think maybe we could. And we,
if I saw like a proper like Brittonic Celt stuff or something, I'd be like, oh, I'm on that.
Sell the house. Just take the dog.
Yeah. Yeah, I snuck into the night, stole your wedding ring, Amy. That's gone on the market. It's up on Katawiki.
Yeah, it's a silly name, though, isn't it?
It is a bit of a stupid name. Just to harken back before my tangent about my amazing 4th century BC
Trunker hunk,
When you said then about your Facebook being hacked, you like clicked on a dodgy link or whatever.
Mm.
Have you ever had anyone be like proper bamboozled and tricked online? Mm. I'm going to tell a story now. We'll have to edit out this name because I want you to know who it is.
Well, to me, I didn't even get as far as being hacked. I just clicked the link and then my mum was like, don't click that link. I said, why did I fucking click a link from her? And then I just wiped my phone instantly to stop anything bad happening. So like,
the thing is, you were probably like the mental capacity in that day. Yeah. It's just like, whatever. Yeah,
exactly.
Just click any blue link that's sent my way.
That's the thing. I was walking home as well from Metro's, I think, when I clicked it at like 2 a.m.
Mm.
And then I just wiped my phone instantly.
That's not a critical thing. Thinking high point, then that will walk home from
Metro. So the next day I wiped it, like when I woke up, and I was like, right, just clean it, because I know that's what you do, you know, just it kind of reverses 24 hours. So like I lost all my Instagram messages and TikTok and WhatsApp messages and photos and stuff, but it's fine, it's all done. But no, I don't know anyone who's been like properly done awfully.
Well, I'll tell the name now, but whoever's editing this, remember to beep him out.
Okay.
In uni, right?
Oh, yeah.
He said that one time he got a random ad on Skype. Do you remember when people used to use Skype as what Zoom is now, basically? Got a random
Isn't
ad.
Isn't it funny? Can I just say how much Skype fumbled the ball?
Oh, what a bollock of a drop there.
What a bollock of a drop. Because the whole thing was about remote access cameras and like all that stuff. And then during the pandemic, they
had it all.
Oh, don't think we want to be involved in this.
The infrastructure was set up, ready to go. Yeah. And they went, don't fancy that. No, and now they're fucking gonzo.
They've absolutely gonzoed. Yeah, go on.
But
you
got a random ad from some hot girl. And she started talking to him and then like she went on camera and was like getting her wappies out and stuff like that. He was reciprocating and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Why there's no alarm bells singing? He's thinking, all my Christmases have come at once. This is brilliant. And then she said, I've recorded all that. I'm going to send it to all your friends and family unless you send me like 300 quid or something like that. And I was thinking, A, you could have charged me so much more than that.
But yeah, yeah.
He said, I said, oh, Christ, what did you do? And he went, I just, he told her, just do it. I don't care. And then he messaged all his mates and stuff and family and said, oh, you might get a weird message from some random girl. Don't open it. And if you do, I warned you or something like that. And it was like, I just love that absolute non-fucks. Like, I'm a student. Yeah. I can't afford a price tag like that. I'd rather have my knob out on the fucking web.
Well, I have heard that, like, 300 bones. I've heard of that one before. And I heard it's like, most of the time it's not true. They don't know who your friends and family are. But it's like they get people out of fear, so then they go, oh shit, I'm so worried I'll do it. But it's so funny.
I think it would work on me. If someone said, you know, hang that over me, I'd be like, oh, I don't want a video of me fucking cranking the hog.
When I was about 12, I was chatting to someone on Bebo.
Where's this going?
No, so I was on Bebo chatting to them, and then I showed it to her.
His name was Father Patrick. He said, get your bits out.
It was a girl, and she said, oh, do you want to be my other half on Bebo? And like, we'll start like going out. And I'd obviously never met them. And I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And then I showed my friend Reese Howells, and he went, oh, mate, I don't think that's real. That's Emma Watson.
Lying yourself. She's sick of the celebrity life. She wants a normal guy. She wants a down to earth soul.
I'd never seen Harry Potter, so I just thought this person was really into me.
There's such a small percent of the population that would ever have worked on, and you were like, oh, she's pretty fit. My new girlfriend. Hermione. It's a bit of a weird name.
It's a weird name.
Hermione Granger.
Yeah.
Yeah. She goes to a big school in Scotland. You wouldn't get it. You wouldn't know her.
So I easily could have been. I shouldn't say his name. I basically could have been Bleep.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. Yeah. I love that. Emma Watson. She's of all the men in the world.
Yeah, she chose me.
But that's what Bieber was the Wild West, because wasn't any privacy things back then. You could go on anyone's profile.
Yeah, I mean that really was the Wild West. It was like
that was my fucking hunting ground.
Yeah, it was things like 2002's hottest babes, and it was wild. It's insane that even back then, no one in government went, do you think maybe this could be exploited by paedophiles? They're like, fine.
You know, privacy stuff came in like after we were in uni, like after we'd been on Facebook for ages. Honestly, like 10 years too late. You know, 10 years later, they're like, oh, maybe this is like a pedo's wet dream. We should maybe stop this. Yeah.
They should have realized with Habbo Hotel, that was the breeding ground.
Habbo, that if there was ever like a perfectly created machine for predators, that was it.
All right,
little Habbo Hotel. Goss, it's 10 years ago. More than 10 years ago, probably 20. But I remember I used to con people on Habbo Hotel. I used to say, oh, have you tried putting your password in? It's really funny. It just comes up like this, and I just type in QWERTY.
Yeah.
Wouldn't work 9 times out of 10, but one time some guy did it, gave me his password. It's logged out, logged into his account, gifted all his stuff he had in his little Habbo Hotel room to me. And he's absolutely fuming.
that is good though. That is that shows your entrepreneurial skills. You could be a
that's
hacker.
Good gear, isn't it? You need to have a cutthroat attitude to make it in the world. So that was me. Didn't need to take a bit of time with that, but there we go.
Should we do a shout out for the Patreon?
Yes, we should. Right. So today's shout out, and we were debating if we'd done this already before. I mean, if you have. Well done, you've got double shout outs. But we've got Nathaniel J is our today's shout out from the Patreon. What can we say about that?
All I can think of is that giant, like, odd lad from our school. he's big.
Let's just say you're the same initials, okay?
Yeah, and he was what you'd commonly call a backwards lad. He was so mental. He once told us that he didn't know how many brothers and sisters he had when we were in German. And when he was late one time, he didn't give his homework in time. And the teacher was like, well, where's your homework? And he was like, oh, it's not my fault. My brother was asleep on the windowsill and someone set him on fire, then stole him.
Yeah, fire to the window and he had to save him from the fiery windowsill.
Yeah.
And we're like, you got a baby brother? He's like, yeah. And then he said something like, in German, when we were doing like a oral exercise or something, he was like, in German, obviously. Yeah. He was like, I've got 10 brothers, 10 sisters. Yeah. And so I went, what's your, all right. He said, and she went, what's your brother's names? And he was like,
Bob.
Bob, Bobby, Bill, Bobby, Billy. Yeah. And then went, oh, I don't remember the rest. Yeah. It was like, what's going on? He was very much a, you're on Game of Thrones, Hodor.
Yeah, very he was such a Hodor. Yeah, and he was a bit like Jay from Between Us because he used to lie all the time. So maybe Nathaniel Jay's new name could be Nathaniel Jay Hodor. Nathaniel Jay Hodor.
That was a good one. Really yeah, good one.
That was a great good one.
Yeah, sorry, Nathaniel Jay. We've just, all we've done is compare you to some guy who's probably mentally handicapped from our school, yeah.
Oh, Nathaniel Jay sounds to me like someone who's dead hench, but he's natural. So we could call him Nathaniel Natty Jay because he doesn't do steroids.
Natty Jay. I like that. Natty Jay.
All right, Natty Jay. Diolch yn fawr. Thanks.
And if you're not hench, Natty Jay, if you're a natterer, it still works. If you're a little bit of a yapper, still works. Still works.
Oh, and if he's a little, a little tiny twink of a lad, then he's still works. He's still natty. He's still natural.
If you're annoying as fuck, like a gnat at the fucking lake, that works as well.
Yeah. All right, then. Come on.
There we go. All right. Cheers, Natty J. Anyway, cheers for your support, mate.
Cheers, Natty, mate. Tell her. Love you. Bye.
Right. It's looking like we're going to sign off the episode then. Like, there we are. That's what we're getting today, guys.
All right, then. Well, now we're off to from one natural born killer, the old Natty J, to a place where there probably were natural killers. The Gododdin.
Yeah, good one. Yeah, that works, kind of. Yeah,
I don't really know what the Gododdin is, so I'll hand over to you.
Sit back and listen, mate. Feast your ears on this. So, a while back, we did an episode, ages ago now, on King Arthur, I think it was the main topic. And it might have been the first time, I think, we've ever spoken about the Gododdin, because it's the earliest ever mention of King Arthur, even though it's more of like a passing comment comparing one of the warriors in the piece to him. So for those who don't know what the Gododdin is, it's an old Welsh poem dating back to the 7th century that memorialises a band of brave Brittonic warriors that fought a great battle against the Angles of Deira and Bernicia at the Battle of Catraeth, which is around 600 AD. Catraeth is strongly suspected to be modern-day Catterick in North Yorkshire. And just for clarity as well, the Angles of Deira were the Angles that settled in the north of England, so like Yorkshire way.
Yeah.
And the Bernicians were just north of that again, so sort of straddling the modern-day border between England and Scotland. So the poem was written by a bard named Aneirin, who lived in the Cumbric settlements of the Old North, or at Hain Ogledd. The Old North, if you don't already know, was like a collection of sister kingdoms to the ones in Wales that included Elmet, the Gododdin, Rheged, and the Kingdom of Strathclyde, or Ystradclyd in Welsh. We did an episode on the Old North and the shenanigans that went up there as well. So check that out if you want. We've covered the Old North a little bit before. Basically, the Celts that lived in the Old North, they were considered like cousins to the Welsh. And the people that lived there were known as Cumbric. The similarity between their names and Cymru isn't an accident. The Cumbric and the Cymru even spoke the same or at least a very similar language at this point in history, known as Common Brythonic, which is like an ancestor language to the Welsh language that we have today. Anyway, Aneirin was supposedly one of these Cumbric fellas, and he lived in the kingdom of the Gododdin, which is around modern-day Edinburgh, and claims to be the only survivor of the battle the poem is centred around. The story of the poem goes that the king of the Gododdin tribe of the time, Mynyddog Mwynfawr, or Mynyddog the Wealthy in English, he sent word to all corners of Britain in search of the land's best warriors to add to his warband. Anyone who joined the king would enjoy a whole year of feasting in Mynyddog's great halls at Dunedin or Edinburgh, but in return would have to march with him to try and reclaim Catraeth, no matter the odds against them. Eventually, 300 of the finest warriors answered the call, and the poem makes note that some of the Celts that made their way to Dunedin were Picts, which are the sort of native Celts up to Scotland, that were from like modern-day Scotland, and some were the Cymru from Gwynedd, so North Wales. What follows after the initial setup is verses dedicated to particular warriors, basically. So they're like, it's like a lament, basically, for all these different warriors that died at the battle. Usually named, sometimes described somehow like the son of another named warrior, or like how they left a new wife to join the battle or something like that. But almost all the verses, they attribute some kind of great deed to like the warriors in question. So what I thought I'd do for this, because we've always sort of covered it, and because it's a poem,
yeah,
it's very like fanciful language and all that. It's a lovely bit, lovely thing. I've got a book which has got like the old Welsh, the original Welsh,
yeah,
and like an English. There's a word for it. It's not translation. It's where you translate like creative writing. So like it basically keeps the same.
Yeah, like tone the best it can
to keep. Yeah, tries to keep the same like what's the word, like pace or like cadence and like the rhyme and stuff like that. So it reads very lovely in English.
I think that's the word. What's that? The meter.
The meter, that's right. Yeah, correct. The so the English one reads off very lovely. I wish I had a modern Welsh one, because the old Welsh is very difficult to read.
Yes,
even for someone who's fluent in the modern Welsh, it's so different. It's so very, very different. So it's like I can read bits of it, like I understand bits of it, but it's, you know, different letters even than what we have today. So, but it's I've read like versions, like verses online. It's very nice. Like it works very nice, you know, like the Welsh are known for their poetry and bardic sort of skill. But instead of like sort of going through the verses of the poems, which is very like flowery language, and like some of it's interpreting to like is up for interpretation. Sorry.
Yeah.
I thought what I've done is like distill the best, what I think are the best like warriors or like the coolest verses. Mm-hmm. And I thought I'd just like go through it like character by character. I'm not going to do all 300, by the way, just the best ones I've found. But like just do it, and essentially I'm dumbing down the source material so like fucking goobers like me can like appreciate a bit more. But yeah, like I said, I won't cover everyone, just the ones that stood out for me. So first up, one of the warriors at the Battle of Cattraeth, we've got Hyveidd Hir, or Hyveidd the Tall, as he would be in English. I'm going to start with him, because although he has a little bit of a description of him in the battle, describing how his blades flashed in the fists of his foes, it mainly talks about how he was like a huge boozer and he loved like the intoxicating mead. So in that year prior to the battle, apparently he was like one of the bigger booze hounds of like the whole band. So I thought, what better way to start a Tales of Wales episode? Exactly. Yeah. Pay homage to Hyveidd Hir, absolute booze hound. So next up, we have Gwawrddir, the warrior referenced earlier, being compared to Arthur, with an Aneurin saying, although he's not as good as a warrior as Arthur, he did earn himself a pretty sick nickname as the Bulwark during the battle, after being one of the first to charge in and for killing so many Angles on the castle ramparts that ravens gathered around him, feasting on the corpses of the fallen. I thought, like, visuals, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that's Gwawrddir. Next, we've got Cynon, who was from Éireann, or Ayrshire? How do you say that in Scotland?
It's in Scotland. Ayrshire? Is it A-Y?
Ayrshire. Anyway, Éireann in Welsh. And he's celebrated quite a lot in the poem for his generosity, noble spirit in life, as well as his skills with his, quote, shining sword in battle, slaying a great number of enemies as one of the other named warriors that were among the first to charge in. Likewise, Cynddylig, Cynon's son, is named as the unshakable pillar after holding his ground despite being sworn by the enemy. So a lot of these guys get like quite cool nicknames, or at least like
sick,
cool imagery. Mm-hmm. Up next is Gwenaboy Vab Gwen.
Maybe that could be something we do for the Patreon, is give them Gododdin style nicknames.
Like a cool Gododdin name,
if they give us some details.
Yeah, that would be cool. But up next is Gwenaboy Vab Gwen, or Gwenaboy son of Gwen. He's remembered for leaving his own wedding feast to march to Cattraeth, and is highlighted as one of the more tragic characters of the battle, being slain and left unburied on the battlefield, his body food for the ravens. So poor one out for Gwenaboy, the poor sod, didn't even get to have a sesh on his wedding day because he had to go to fucking war. Yeah. But I like that it also, anyone who comes to, Mynyddog Moynfawr's party essentially for the year, they have to pay what's called their mead price, right? But that's the reason they have to go to battle no matter what, is because they enjoyed a whole year of feasting in his halls. So I like, oh, this guy was like, oh, wasn't it Gwenaboy, do you want to come come to our feasting halls? You will have to fight for me in about a year's time though. And he's like, oh, wedding, bang on a year from now. He's like, yeah, I'm in, mate, no problem. And then on wedding day, sorry love, can't make it, I've got to go fight the Angles up in fucking Catterick. But another fallen warrior was a guy named Griggin. He was described as wielding a spear point of ash and a shield of silver. He rode his horse into battle at Catraeth and was said to have killed so many Angles from atop his steed that the flanks of his horse were covered in gore and viscera of the enemy.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool, like red flanks on your horse.
And so the battle itself is true.
Well, I'm to cover a bit more of that later. It's up for sort of debate, but yeah, I choose to believe that it is a real thing. I'll go into that more a bit later, but so next up, who we got? We got a guy called Tudvalchir or Tudvalch the Tall. He was described as a huge brute of a man, as well as a bit of a green thumb in his lands. He fought the Angles for 7 days straight, and his lands became barren and without harvest after his death because his affinity for agriculture and to guide his people had disappeared. So the lands that he lorded over unfortunately suffered because of his death as well. But 7 days fighting, that's pretty good. Not bad at all. Next, we've got Geraint of the South, who was a great lord of Dumnonia, the Celtic kingdom that stood where modern-day Devon and Cornwall are. He rode into battle on a white horse and was hailed as Lord of the Battle Cry during the assault on Catraeth. Next up is Owain Vab Irian, or Owain son of Irian. This one's a bit unique as well, because Owain was a real person and a king of the kingdom of Freged in the Old North around 590 AD. So there's actual like historic record of this guy, Owain Vab Irian. His actual recorded death is 595 AD. So it actually would line up quite well with when the supposed Battle of Catraeth was.
Yeah.
So he's noted in the poem for massacring the Angles of Deira in particular. He's compared in the battle to when he's slaughtering these Angles of Deira, he's compared to a wolf chasing sheep. Mm-hmm. So like that's like obviously quite vicious. So next up is Kenai Vab Llwyrach, or Kenai son of Llwyrach. He's described as a bit of an avenger on the battlefield. So he targeted Angles that had felled his comrades.
Oh, that's cool.
And he's described as a great bull of battle, which is a description you'd be bragging about down the pub if you made it back 100%. Yeah. Oh, no big deal. They call me the great bull of battle. That's such a big time name. And now last but not least, I want to shout out a guy called Gwilyged. Basically in the Gododdin, some get these amazing feats of battle attributed to them, like I've said today, and like these cool nicknames and stuff. But basically everyone gets like at least a line or two about how honorable or brave they were at the very least, you know? So even if they don't name a specific like cool nickname or like a really big deed, they always say about like how brave or how noble they were or how valiantly they died and stuff. So even if you don't get feats and stuff, you know, it's like skewering 20 Angles with one spear throw or something like that, like a fucking kebab, you still get some praise for having the bollocks to show up. But Gwilyged, though, has no battle-related compliments. He's described as a man of Gododdin, so a native Cumbric, but he's the man who provided all the mead, all the food, and basically set up the feasting halls for the entire year prior to battle, and is praised for his warm welcome and showmanship. Without Gwilyged, there's not even a fucking party
and that
to begin
like
with.
Glug glug glug
glug glug Gwilyged. Am I right? And so his name. I even put that in my notes. You beat me to it. But I said Gwilyged. Sounds like a Gwilyged.
He's a Gwilyged. That's what you could call somebody who drinks.
He's
too much.
A proper Gwilyged.
He's a proper Gwilyged. He is. Just so I'm right, the Gododdin is an area, is a poem about the battle
of Catraeth, yes. But the Gododdin is an area in the Old North. Yeah. That was a kingdom in the Old North. So Mynyddog Moynfawr, he was the king of the Gododdin.
Yeah. But then this is also a poem called the Gododdin, which But the poem itself is just a itinerary of a big battle.
It's essentially like a lament to all the soldiers that died. Yeah.
As an anime? Or like,
Even get me started. The dreams I've had of turning this into like some sort of like, you know,
like it can be a six-parter.
You know, the first three are like the guys getting to know each other, and you could even have like the interplay of like the Picts and the Welsh, like not quite getting on very well and all that, and then they become good bosom buddies.
It could
over
also
the year
be
of
like
boozing.
300, you know, like where it's like really hyper flashy, really over the top. But I was thinking, because I've been watching a little bit of, I never watched anime before, but I watched that that Viking one,
Vinland Saga.
That's brilliant. And when they have those fights, you can make them. You, when they say the bull, you could have them turn into a bull for a minute and like yeah. whip around, or because you have like you're not restrained by reality with that. And
it just, yeah, or have it just like doing feats that are just humanly impossible. You know, like in that series, you've like that. I can't remember his name. Yeah. There's a massive like Viking jumps. In that, isn't he?
Yeah, and he gets like shot like 60 times.
He throws like almost like huge
boats,
logs,
like logs, yeah,
and they're almost like spears boats and stuff like that. And it's like yeah. you have that sort of leeway with anime and stuff, and you're like animation.
So you've only gone through about six people there, but it's so like visceral might not be the right word, but I can just it feels so like rich
it's
in
great
story.
Writing, you know, like the bardic stuff I was on about, like, you know, the Welsh are great creatives, you know, great singers, poets, creatives. The way they describe these things, even the English version, so you know, it's not one for one, but. It's like it's just paints a great picture in your head. Same with like the Mabinogion. Read the Mabinogion. It's so good at like painting these very vivid images in your mind.
Because I always know they always say the Welsh like great poet stuff, but if I'm honest, I don't really read any of it. So when you hear it told to you, it's probably part of the joy of this podcast. It's just I like, oh shit, that sounds so cool. And like,
yeah, well,
you're
that's why I wanted to do it
like
sort of break it down, you know, instead of doing like that. Because if I read the verses out, I think that might be quite boring.
Not really is. Yeah,
I'm not enough of an orator to like make that sound good.
Yeah, and I don't have the poems are nerds. I don't want to. I want to know the gist. Give me the gist.
Poems
baby.
Are fucking losers, man. No. You want them read out one by one, like I just did. That's true art.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was basically. There's a lot more named boys in the actual Godolphin
poem. Well, we could come back to them another time as well.
I think we could
do Godolphin part two.
There's plenty of good ones, and they don't actually name the 300 in there. They name about. There is a good like. I think the verses is about 110 verses.
Oh, yeah.
Not everyone mentions a warrior. Some get like three verses to them and stuff like that. Ooh. There's a good like I would say 50. Odd names in there or something like that.
Well, should I do the next one and find the next five?
If you can find them, I picked out what I thought were like the best, the coolest sounding ones, basically. But like I said, that's not all of them, but they're the more standout ones of the brave 300 of Catraeth, who paid what the poem describes, like I said earlier, as their mead price.
Yeah.
This is a central theme through an Aeryn's poem that by accepting the year of lavish hospitality from Minerva of Moinvoud, they were making like a pact basically to owe the king their absolute loyalty and lives in battle. Hence why none of them fled the fighting despite like overwhelming odds. But the question you asked earlier, did the events described in the Godolphin actually happen? I hear you ask. Well,
can I ask one more question before that?
Oh, go on. Yeah.
So did they win the battle?
No, they lost quite heavily. Okay. They were massively outnumbered.
So that's
I tried to look up.
Yeah,
I tried to look up numbers. I've seen from not so reputable looking websites that it's like 300 versus 1,000. Some have said like 10,000.
But I mean, Wales have had odds like that before. We've had
But then there's other things that say like it wasn't really 300 men; it was 300 like commanders.
Yeah,
and they all had men underneath them, and
like their own tailie.
It's up
for interpretation.
Yeah, exactly. It's up for interpretation. Yeah. But like I said, did this actually happen? Is up for debate. Basically, the history boffins. There's the naysayers suggesting it's actually more of like an epic, you know, like a poetic epic.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like an epic of the North, sort of combining memories and stories from different battles over the ages into one, like sort of epic depicting it from the battles.
And this
the
is,
North,
do you say, the
thing.
First time King Arthur's mentioned. In
this
literature.
Is the first time he's ever mentioned in history. Yeah,
yeah.
First and time ever mentioned. Yeah. This is why, ladies and gents, Arthur is a Welsh or
then,
a Celtic certainly hero.
But then later records of him have him distinctly as Welsh to being like he's going to push back against the Saxons, don't they? Like they specifically mentioned it. Have we
well, this is the time
episode?
Of the Saxons. We have,
true.
Which is when we first, but I think we did like snippets from stories there.
Yeah.
Because this is the same time as like the Saxons as well. They would have been more south,
true.
But so it's around that time and makes sense in that regard. But later on, you got to remember that like the King Arthur stories, they got picked up by like French people and like Lancelot, for example, like Sir Lancelot. He's a complete relatively, I'd say, new edition. That's something that like a French author put in. He's not in the original. Like,
but I mean, like, there was an actual King Arthur, and then there's also a literary King Arthur, isn't there?
Exactly. King Arthur, yeah.
There's a King Arthur.
He was based on a real person-ish, some people think. And,
well, that's the thing. He spans like 400 years. Like, there's some aspects of him fighting Romans, some against Saxons, some against Angles.
Exactly. So this is kind of the same thing in what some historians suggest, that this was like a composite battle where they've had tales from maybe 300 odd years of battle and they've put them into one epic, you know? Okay. Whereas the same thing with Arthur is like, maybe Arthur was a real guy. He was a great leader, a great warrior, whatever.
Yeah.
But they just attributed all these amazing victories to him over, like you said, 300, 400 odd years. But yeah, the historians that do think it took place, who I tend to agree with because I just love a good battle, they suggest there's bits of information in the poem that do actually line up with history, such as the kingdom of Godolphin actually sending a massive force against the Angles around 600 AD. That's known. They don't know where. But they said Catraeth would make sense. Like I said, it's widely identified, or most historians agree that it's the modern-day Catterick. That would have actually been a very strategic stronghold. So it would make sense that the men of the Godolphin would want to take that from the Angles, because it would be a defensive like point in the country to take. It makes sense they were fighting over it. Also, the poem isn't shy about telling you that the Celtic forces, they lost the battle against the Angles, which is a very unusual thing. Also, someone say that's
an unusual
thing to do.
Rallying thing.
Yeah. If you're trying to do like an epic, like a puff piece about your people, you wouldn't say they lost, would you? You tend to say they win. So that doesn't quite match up as like a made-up kind of thing. The only other thing I discovered in my research worth noting, is one of the copies, in one of the copies, there's one stanza of the poem. There's a lullaby called Pais Dinogad, or Dinogad's Tunic in English. It has absolutely zero to do with the battle, and it's actually a lullaby. It's the oldest Welsh lullaby. Mm. And that's also written by an Eirin in the 7th century. But what's happened is in one of the oldest manuscripts, it's not called a manuscript, is it? Whatever. One of the oldest copies of the Godolphin, it's thought that an Eirin might have scribbled this lullaby down on the margins of the poem.
Yeah.
And then as scribes like copying it over, because that's how they used to like maintain records of things, someone thought that was like another stanza in the in the poem.
That's funny.
And so included that. So halfway through this, like if you were reading this epic about the Battle of Catraeth, you just get one line from an old lullaby, which is like all very kiddie and stuff like that. But yeah, that's how they think that sort of snuck its way in there. Also, that oldest lullaby, Dinogad's Tunic, or Pais Dinogad in Welsh. If you Google it, you can actually listen to like a modernized version, like someone singing it with the old original lyrics.
Oh wow.
It's really not the best. It's not the best like sort of Welsh song. But, I mean, it's from the 1600s. So, that's before Taylor Swift. Nah, there's not much competition back then. But it's still a nice little bit of history. But, yeah, that's everything I've got on the Godolphin.
Do you know when the Angles joined with the Saxons,
I don't off the top of my head, no. Because they came over as separate, didn't they? It was them, Angles, Saxons, and the Jutes. It's weird how the Jutes they kind of blended in with everyone else. They don't get like a name drop because the Angles and the Saxons become Anglo-Saxon.
Yeah.
But they don't call them Anglo-Saxon Jutes,
Because they all come from roughly the same area, aren't they?
It's like modern day Germany, isn't it?
Yeah, basically. Northern Germany, like southern Denmark. But they apparently they were here whilst some of the Romans were here, because they always say they came in after the Romans, but they don't think that's true.
I think it's, from what I've read, and I'm absolutely no expert, it's, they came over in sort of smaller parties while the Romans were here and everything. But it's like that mass influx after the Romans left, because they were like, this is a sitting duck, like this is going to be easy. Because they disarmed all the Celts, remember, as well, before, like while they were in rule, the Romans. So when they left, it was like they looked at it as easy pickings.
I listened to like a podcast, and this is like a throwaway comment, but they were like, they were like, like you said, the Saxons, the Jutes, and the Angles were often like, they were like mercenaries already here. Mm. So they were either fighting different parts. And then when they began to settle, then they would go back to their places and say, oh, come over. And I think the idea was people would just group them together because they were similar. So the British would be like, oh, they're Anglo-Saxons.
Definitely, but we especially for the Bretonic Celts, like you say, they would just go, these are these invaders, these are them, and would just lump them all in together, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But it's quite funny that you say, there's a quite real parallel there between they were mercenaries that would come over to Britain during the Roman occupation, and the same thing, Celts used to go over to the European continent as mercenaries as well, because they were all regarded as really good warriors and stuff.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that's the thing. They're like warrior nations, aren't they? We should do an episode maybe about the Anglo-Saxons, even though it's not about Wales, because it do have such a big impact on Wales.
Yeah, Welsh adjacent, fact that they were like conquerors almost, didn't they?
Well, also, there's that in that book, Wales, England's first colony, they say there is no Wales without an England. So to be Welsh, there has to be an England, because what's happened since, we'd either be just British, wouldn't we? We'd be British beforehand.
Mm.
So there is a distinct, there's not even the word Wales, that stuff comes from England.
We're so defined by England.
Exactly.
Aren't we?
We're so defined by England. And I think we're definitely defined by what England is, because we're not that in lots of ways.
100%.
But I really like that episode, man. I think you could do so much with it in terms of modern day culture and media.
I'd love an animation style thing, just any sort of cool animated style would fit so well.
Also just any telling of it would be really interesting.
Yeah, like a Zack Snyder 300. It's got the bones of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like a really over the top stylized cool bloody action thing. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, anyway, diolch yn fawr, guys. Thanks for listening. Catch you on the next one. If you got this far, please drop us 5 stars. It really, really helps. But if not, sorry. And you can send us to Patreon. You can find the Patreon in the link in the bio and all that malarkey. Anyway. Yeah. Dear guys, catch you all soon.
Awesome, guys.